The ruling All Progressives Congress, APC, has proven over the years to be a major powerhouse in the political sphere of Nigeria. But what is left of the party at this time? What is the plan of the party for Nigerians ahead of the 2023 general elections? All these and more in this episode as I engage a member of the APC, Mr. Joshua Oyeshola, who shared perspective on the discussion. Enjoy. Good evening, Mr. Joshua. Such a pleasure to have you on this week's episode. Thank you for honoring my invitation.
Thank you.
So, you are a member of the All Progressives Congress, APC.
Yes.
Where is APC at this time? Looking at the past events and current trends, where is APC currently?
Actually, we are in a very good place right now. APC is doing fine. As a party, we have gone through our ups and downs. As a party that started in 2015, you know that APC was a child of necessity in 2014, looking at 2015 election. And for what we have been able to do as a party of that size and what we have been able to achieve. So relatively, I would say APC is in a very good place. It may not be an excellent place where we want to be or where we're supposed to be. But like every human endeavor, even in family, there are rancors, there are issues. But relatively, we are good. We are good compared to other major parties. We are good.
You made mention of where the party is supposed to be. So where is the party supposed to be?
When I say where the party is supposed to be, what I mean in essence is that when you are setting out to create something, there is always a vision that you have. So All Progressive Party, when it was being created, there is a vision that All Progressive will come together. You know, when All Progressive come together, you are looking like progress in the nation, in the economy, in the policy, in everything. So as it is now, we are not there yet. So we're supposed to be a group of people coming together to discuss policy, coming together to discuss how the country goes on. So if we are still now still doing some little politicking that this supposed to be, it's supposed to be creating a kind of template that the nation supposed to. So if we have not been doing that, like I said, it's not like it's bad. It's what happens in every human endeavor, but we supposed to have moved based on the vision, based on why APC was started, so we're supposed to have moved past the board. Looking at it in another angle, so relatively, these are the things that happens in politics. These are the things that happens when you have a place where you have a group of people. So that is what I mean, that where we're supposed to be.
So looking at political parties, it's been argued that majority of the political parties that we have in Nigeria don't have an ideology. For example, when you look at Western nations like the US, Republicans, you can say this is their ideology. Democratic people, they can say this is their ideology. Does APC has one?
Relatively, I believe APC has one, though it has not been fully fleshed out yet. We have not get there yet. And you can see it in the name. Now, in all honesty, as an outsider, if you really want to look at it, you can see the way PDP are treating towards now. You can see relatively the way APC are tending to us. Yes, there is still in the whole of Africa, because of our democracy is still young. And when you see a democracy that is still young, or a country in a relatively a third world country, most of the things that is basis of the argument are still the same. So that is why you can see that the ideology is still looking similar. If APC wants to campaign, they will still campaign on there is no good road, there is no good electricity, the economy, and the rest. If PDP wants to campaign now, which is the other major party, they will still use the same thing to campaign. So you can't use it like in US, where relatively they have good roads, they have good infrastructure, the economy is booming. So if you come to a US or somebody in UK and you said you want to campaign on infrastructure, there's a little to what you can say per se. So that is why there is a difference between the way our democracy is just evolving. And if we are in a third world where the problem is still relatively the same. So that is why it seems as if the ideology, but you can see the way APC is going. Now, very for the first time, people may not really felt it yet in terms of the economy on a broader sense. But you can see the way APC is trying to get money into the hand of the real people. You can see the way they are trying. Yes, they may not be there yet, okay, but you can see the policy that they are trying to make sure that they get the money directly into the hand of the people, into the people that really needs the money. Unlike PDP, you don't see something like that often, except the one that President Jonathan did at the end of his government. You don't see them trying, putting effort to get the money into the hand of the real people. You can see APC trying to borrow market to many. You can see them trying to put infrastructure to the hand of the artisans. So you can see, but it's not there yet. So you can't say that the ideology is the same, just that in the third world, we have to still use the same thing to still campaign. So as we go on, we start seeing the way it will be evolving. You start seeing some pro and some cons. So that is when you know. But in a country where just 1999, you want to compare us to United States that is 200 years old? Come on.
Well, many people have also argued that we can take their wisdom.
Yeah.
And some people have also argued that we are not necessarily practicing democracy. In fact, people have accused this government of militocracy, that is a government using some form of a military system to run the government. What's your reaction to this?
Now, there is a saying that I've also said before, that most times in this part of the world, we take something from the Western world, we just swallowed it without really looking at how adaptable it is to us. So the question I've also asked people, I love democracy.
Okay.
I'm for democracy, because the purpose of democracy is supposed to be by the people, for the people.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a
people-oriented.
Okay. But in the context of us as an Africa, is democracy in its 100% form, is it really, really ideal for us?
Okay.
Those are the critical questions that we need to start asking ourselves. Okay. You see the United States, you see them going full length on their democracy, something, the president, the state, down to their county and all those stuff. But you see UK, they take the same democracy, they adapt it to what is workable, okay, for them.
Okay.
You see India practicing the same democracy, but adapt it to what is applicable to them. Unlike us, that we take the democracy that is happening in the United States and want to duplicate it and want it to work for us the same way it is supposed to work. Don't forget that before the advent of democracy, we have our kings.
Yes.
Yes, they may have their excesses, but we know these are the people that rule when people don't steal things in their city, where you can be going and they will put their goods there and they will go away, and people will come, they will buy and put money there. No thief. How are they doing in it then? But when we brought in democracy, we just eradicate everything that is us and we swallow democracy. Don't forget also that democracy always talk about the majority having their way, while the minority having their say. So in a places where there is no much enlightenment, in the UK, you can see the argument that goes about. I was making fun of somebody. The last major infrastructure bill that was signed in the United States, you can see the argument between the Democrats and the Republican. The argument was not about, does United States need an infrastructure? The argument was not about how much money are we going to put on infrastructure. The argument was really about what is really the infrastructure.
Okay.
So in the whole discussion of the infrastructural bill in the United States, if the Democrats actually won the game, the people wins. If the Republican wins the argument, the people will still win. Are you getting what I'm saying?
I get you.
Because the argument was not about infrastructure is good, infrastructure is not good. The argument is, okay, what can we really say infrastructure is? Is it road alone? Is it this alone? And you see them coming to compromise, always back to the people.
Okay.
How many roads do we have to deliver to our people? In our own client, that is not what we argue about. We argue about this governor is having something with his godfather and he has to move. This one is having this and he has to move. Even in the discussion of our policies as a nation, everybody keep attacking the president now. this one is not good, this one is. Nobody has been able to provide solution based on the available something that you are doing. You are wrong, but this is the way you could have done it better.
Well, people have also provided solutions.
For example,
the issue of security,
okay,
where you have the federal government pardoning Boko Haram members,
okay,
where you have federal government telling us that they've identified sponsors of terrorism, but no one has been prosecuted.
Yeah.
And people are saying, okay, for starters, grill them, let us know where the source of terrorism is. Yeah. I think people have sort of provided a solution.
Now, well, if we want to take this thing one after the other and really, really deal with these things. Now, the security that you talk about, as a layman, I totally agree with your point of view. I totally agree that, okay, the government is supposed to take this and... But in a country, there's so many things that goes on. I'm a father. My kids comes to me and asks me that I need breakfast, or I need, after eating breakfast, he needs something to buy biscuit or something. That is his right. That is what I'm supposed to do as a father, right? But if I could not do that, and sometimes I may not be able to give reasons why I could not do that. But he must be able to know that beyond what he is seeing, breakfast, lunch, dinner, I'm seeing more than that. Now, when you talk about this issue of security, people have provided solution that, okay, the people of Boko Haram, you know them, go there, bomb them. Don't forget that there are so many things that is applicable to a government that is not applicable to Boko Haram. Let me give an example. A government cannot go in because you see Boko Haram in a place, they have adopted people, your citizen, and they are in a place where we are now. You know that Boko Haram is here, but you have two or one of your citizens there with them as a responsible government. Despite the fact that you know where they are and you have something to bomb them, you can't send a military something there and go and bomb them. Not because of the Boko Haram, but the consideration of your citizen that were there. That same thing is not applicable to Boko Haram. Boko Haram can come in and come and bomb you. Are you getting my point? So when we have this kind of argument, as much as I believe that we are not doing enough as APC member to curb this security issue, there are so many things that could have been done. But despite that fact, I don't want to believe that the government is just sitting and looking at, you can't be that devilish.
Well, it's looking like they are sitting because, for example, where you have bandits attack the airport and just barely 24 hours, the attack train, killing about 8 people with several others abducted, with the Minister of Transportation coming out to say that he had warned that there will be problems. He told them that there will be problems, that they should establish or install security cameras.
Yeah.
But it's looking more like that. Don't you think so?
I don't think so. Now the comments from the Minister of Transportation, I believe it was from a point of anguish, a point of agony and all those stuff, because most of this argument, I used to run away from it because we have come to a place where we don't value human life as a country. We have come to a place where APC and PDP argue based on this is the number of deaths that happens in your government, which is not a basis for
definitely,
me.
Definitely.
Which is a no-no. One person's life, what's more? That is why most of the time I used to run away from this. But when you want to actually take the issue of security as a whole, there are sometimes we really need to look at ourselves and tell ourselves the truth. When you talk about the security, I'm not a security expert, but I know that security have layers. There is one for the citizens, there is one for the military people that are the expert in the field, and all the rest. If you want to say anything about this government, you can assess how much the past governance has put on security architecture in terms of buying military equipment. You can also answer that question as a journalist. Looking at from 1999, how much they have put into buying military. There was a time in this country where our armies were literally running away from Boko Haram. There was a time in this country then, before this government, right? Where our military are literally running out away from Boko Haram. We are not talking about the citizens now.
Yeah.
The military that's supposed to take care of us
are running away. And what was their argument? They don't have something to fight the Boko Haram. They don't have the equipment. They don't have this. They don't have that. It was in this government where a major contract for ammunition wants to go, they want to go and buy it on a black market. And they use a private jet of a popular pastor to go and buy. It was in this country. Now, moving forward to this government, we can see what they have done in terms of putting money into the security architecture. We can see the way our soldiers and our military are now getting bolder to go and get. Now, could they have done more? Yes. Are they doing their best? I think so. But I still believe their best is not enough.
Okay.
We still need to do more. So when we start talking about this issue of security, I believe we need to come as a nation to a place where we really need to take this thing out of politics. Now, in all fairness, I believe APC played the same game in 2014, where we make a security issue as a political issue, which is not supposed to be, because security has to do with the life of the people. So after you have won the government and the people are dying, what is the essence of governance?
Hmm.
Are you getting my point? So for me, I don't believe that this government are not doing their best. I just believe their best is not good enough. And they need to put everything together to do more, because people are dying.
Hmm. Thank you very much. One of the major debates that came up in this administration was the debate on true federalism, devolving of power. Especially security-wise, where the state governors, especially Southwest, had to now create a special security force for Southwest. What's your reaction to true federalism and devolving of power, especially security-wise? What's your take on that?
I totally agree with the concept of federalism. But the problem for me when talking about federalism is that we don't even know what federalism is.
So what is federalism?
So now, I won't pretend as if I know what federalism means too.
Okay.
I will just say it from the point of what I think. Because when you start talking about federalism, you find out that people have different definitions of federalism. So we have a state government that is shouting to the federal government that you have to balance equation. But in their states, they did not want to balance equation.
Okay.
We are talking about federalism. When you talk about federalism, the concept basically is where there is dissolution of power, where the president is not overriding on the state government. But the same thing applies to the state government not overriding on the local government. So if I want to reverse the question to you, the thing says that it that comes to equity must come with clean land. So the state government that is actually asking for federalism, do you think they are really justified to ask for the federalism? These are the same people that they don't give the state assembly the autonomous. These are the people that even the judiciary, we are still in a place where state government still buys car for the judiciary, for the judges. And you want those judges to be fair. And you see the judgment, you can see that when they want to get one favorable judgment, you can see them going to some certain states. And you know that immediately, because the judiciary and the something and very, very, they have camped them in that something. Now, this is the same federal government that they are saying is against federalism. Sign something that there should be autonomous for the state and for the local government. Sign something like financial autonomous for the state assembly. So this argument for me, it's more or less of which one comes first. Is it the egg or the chicken? But as time goes on, one thing I believe is that in democracy, there is no at any time where you have all the answer. But the thing is that you keep working, you keep improving. One of the things that is in America, if I ask you now, relatively, America has amended their constitution how many times? You may not even remember, hundreds of times. Immediately they get to a block and they find out that this thing is not working. What did they do? They go back into it. If the document were perfect in the first place, there will not be need for the amendment. How many times since 1999 have we amended our constitution? It's just coming. This same government that everybody is accusing that they don't want federalism, the very first major amendment is coming under this government. Am I wrong?
No, you're very correct.
So Now, it is easy to shout. My pastor used to tell me that he has two kids and he called the first kid, "I want to send you to Lagos." And he said, "Daddy, I'm coming." And he did not show up. And he called the second one and he said, "Come and go to Lagos. I want to send you to Lagos." And the guy said, "I can't go. I have business. I can't leave my business." And the second one finally went to Lagos and go. Which one is more reasonable?
Obviously the second.
Is it the one that said I would go and did not go? Some people may be shouting about true federalism, but we'll see what they are doing. Totally contradicts. There is a governor, I don't want to mention, the governor in the southeast asking for there should be liberty, even take the federal government to court on tax and something like that, that there should be, they want more autonomy. But the same governor goes to his state and buy form for all the aspirants and say that anybody I didn't give the form should not contest. What I'm saying in essence is that we have to go beyond being mediocre as a country. We have to actually ask this question, because all this issue of federalism, security, most time, I was saying the other day that it is not time of politics. You start seeing so many lies. Now, so many facts, for the fact that it's a fact, does not mean it is the truth. Facts are always different from the truth. So there will be so many facts, but not necessarily the truth. What I'm saying in essence is that I don't believe this government is working against true federalism. Today I've done more, I believe so. Did they need to do more? Does there need to be discussion around true federalism? I believe so. We need to continually having that discussion until we get more result. That is the it for me.
Thank you. Let's talk about APC in Oyo State. What is APC looking like in Oyo State at the moment?
The same way in the federal, we have our issues most especially in Oyo State now, you know, we are in the opposition. And we know the vote that took APC out of power in Oyo State, it's more of a vote based on sentiment per se, because they don't want somebody and they believe that they can get sucker in another person, which is what politics do, you wipe up sentiment. So for me, relatively now, we are still just hanging in there. We don't know what is going to be, but we have so many great contenders on the ticket, and no matter where it swings, the only thing I'm looking forward is that there should be a cooperation working together, and the argument must not be on how much or how well somebody or a certain group of people is going to feed well. The discussion should be what is going to be the benefit of the Oyo State citizen and resident of Oyo State.
So what's the plan of the APC in Oyo State to get power back?
The same thing that the opposition used to be. When you are in opposition, the only thing you can do is for you to rally around your people, come together as one. So what APC is relatively doing in Oyo State now is to consult, to get, there are so many factions. I want to do this, I want to do this. So it's just to consult, bring everybody back into one house. If possible, if we can get a consensus. Because if you get a consensus, an in-house consensus where everybody can come to the table and negotiate, it makes it more better. You'll be able to put your force so somebody can go and stand in and make sure that, don't worry, I'm going to make sure that I campaign very well in Ogbomosho. Somebody can go and say that I go to Okeogun, I'm going to make sure I campaign very well. But that must be done without bitterness, bringing everybody into the pool and making sure that the thing is shared equally without any rancor.
You made mention of factions. What brought about these factions? What caused these factions in the first place?
The only thing that caused is not only APC, actually. PDP also have their factions.
Okay.
You know, you hear in the news that the major person that helped Governor Seyi Makinde to get power in PDP, Olokwenye just left the PDP. If there's no faction, he won't leave. So, political party is devoid. You can't see a political party that doesn't have faction.
Why is that? Why?
Because it is even in your family, you and your brother, if you are four, you grew up together. You can't see the same thing the same way, despite the fact that you grew up together.
Okay.
The only thing that is applicable is that we should not take it to a place where we have to crumble the house because I want to have my way. I was having this discussion with somebody when the NSAS issue was up, and I was saying that one of the things that makes me to back out from the NSAS struggle was that it turns out that the people are taking it as if they are taking it, the people versus the policemen. And I asked somebody, a typical person, all our police officers, who are they? Are they no Nigeria? Are they Ghanaian? Did they bring them from Brazil? So why are we taking this fight as if the citizens are fighting the police? It's supposed to be the citizen working together with the police to come up with a good police force to secure the people. So the same thing applicable to political party. There will always be fashion. In the Democrats, there are factions. In the Republicans, there are factions. There will always be faction. The only thing that comes together is that whenever there is faction, there must be a unifying goal, which is the common goal that how do we make ourselves of more service to the people? And if that is our goal, you always find a way around our factions and find a way to work together for the common goal.
Mm. So 2023 general elections again is fast approaching.
Yeah.
And at the federal level, yes, the presidency, several declarations. It was this person to the other person, and before you know it, you had Baba Bola Tinubu saying that he had met the president to tell him of his ambition, saying if he has to fight dirty, he will fight dirty.
Did he actually say that?
He implied
so does not mean that he said so.
But he implied so.
He did not.
But he used the word dirty.
I don't believe so. I'm waiting to see that.
Okay. So he came, then we have all these people, Emefiele too, we have certain groups campaigning that he should become president under the APC. We've got people buying buses already, buying cars to campaign for him, and we have others. And as it is now, we have about 9. And the shock one, the shocker, on Monday, we had the vice president come out to give us a speech on how he wants to continue the mandate of the president. Let us get a reaction on the vice president's declaration.
There's no reaction. He has the right to contest. He's a Nigerian.
So let me even ask, what side are you?
Relatively, I'm 100% on the side of the Professor Yemi Osinbajo. We have a group that is campaigning for Professor Yemi Osinbajo 2023. So that is where I belong.
So why Osinbajo?
Now, there have been so many arguments about supporters and all those stuff, which is what politics actually do. But for me, to answer the question why Osinbajo is just like, looking at every variables, for me, and this is my opinion, and know that opinion, I may be wrong, yes, I may be right.
Your opinion.
It is just my opinion. Looking at every variable, I believe that no matter any boxes you want to tick, Professor Yemi Osinbajo is there. Don't forget that the NSAS issue is a major something that is not going to go away for a while. So I believe there should be a networking between the older generation and the younger generation, which for me, Yemi Osinbajo can fill in the box. If you want to look at being able to play the politics, he's been there for, he was Lagos State Commissioner of Justice for so many years, for like 8 years actually. He knows how the politics is being played. Yes, he may not be a frontline player in politics, okay, but he understands the terrain. He has been a very good lawyer, number two to President Buhari for the past 7 years running the thing, and he has seen the way governance go. So for me, one of the reasons is that I believe that if you have to see a change in our nation, there must be a stability in policy for a certain number of years. Now, we have seen that proven in so many years. We see that in the United States. At the very early of the assumption, you can see stability in the way the policy is being driven. You can see that everybody talks about Singapore, everybody talks about China, but you can trace a certain, I'm not conversing for something like China that somebody should be in governance for a number of years, one person. That is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there must be a certain follow-up on policy. For a very long time, despite the fact that everything you may want to accuse this government, even when this government take over from a government that is not of the same party in 2015, one of the things that I give them kudos for was that when they make a decision that they are not going to start any project or any major project until they finish all the projects. So you see them, instead of them to be focusing on another something, you see Lagos Ibadan Expressway being completed. It was not... It was not initiated by this government. Second, Niger Bridge. Despite the fact that one government designed it, this government have to look at, okay, how do we make money available? They could have gone and go and look for something else to say that, let us put our signature, let people know that. But we have to come to a place where there is a consistency in policy. So looking at Professor Yemi Osinbajo, no matter anywhere you want to look at it, we talk about security now. We are not where we're supposed to be in security, but there is a policy that this government is working on. They have started focusing on buying ammunition, making sure our securities are not stranded. They have started doing reform on the police, though slow, but they have started working on it. And this is the person that I've been. So for me, it's not going to be like an handing over. It's just going to be like kicking the... I don't know if you get my point. So for me, that is why I'm preaching my thing.
Now that you mentioned it, it was something the Vice President also talked about. He said continuity of what President Buhari started.
Yeah.
But people have also argued, people have also accused him of, how shall I put this now? Okay, people argue, don't let me say accuse now. People argue that someone who could not even do anything, how does he want to do anything as president?
Someone who could not do anything
as a Vice President.
What could he have done?
And that's the other argument too, that people now say he's just a vice president.
Yes.
He couldn't have done anything.
What could he have done?
So what is he planning to do as a president?
Now,
if that happened to him as a vice president?
Now, one of the things I believe is that no matter the way you want to look at it, people are not being, which is normal, it is politics. People are not being fair with this government. Now, from the advent of, don't let me go too far, from the advent of 1999 election, tell me one vice president that has been very visible and very active as the Vice President Yemi Osinbajo. Is he Vice President Atiku? The only thing that makes Atiku very something was he always quarrel with his boss. There's always fight with his boss. That was why Atiku was ill. It was not because they actually do something very significant. So Osinbajo, within the space of being a Vice President, if you want to be successful as a number two, which is another thing we need to learn as a nation, there is no jumping the gun. There are some times that you need to learn the rope. Osinbajo was a successful commissioner of justice. That was why somebody can point him and say that when the vacancy for vice president slot opened, and they said that he can fit in. If he was not successful as a commissioner of justice in Lagos, do you think somebody will appoint him to that? So for me, within the space that is available, he has worked in the economy. The major job of a vice president, actually in our constitution, is to chair the economic team and to advise the government on the economy.
Has he done well in that regard?
I believe so. Looking at where we are coming from, looking at in 20, so many arguments for and against. In 2015, before the advent of this government, even the past government was selling, we know how much the crude oil, we know how much we are raking it, but we know that they still could not pay salary. So many states were not stable. It was this government, based on the minimum resources that they were able to garner, they started giving states what they call palliative, and they started clearing the debt.
But now look at the state of the economy. Things are on the high side now.
Absolutely, but it's not only us.
And that's the argument you made.
Yes.
That's the argument the APC.
It's not only us. It's not only the APC.
I've seen interviews of APC spokesperson, and this is the same thing they keep selling, that it's not only Nigeria.
Yeah.
But even before it turned out to be a worldwide phenomenon, it has always been like this.
Now, like I said from the onset, when this kind of argument of APC is not doing well in economy comes, what I always try to hear is that this is the way they could have done it.
Okay.
That would have been an argument for me. Now, these are the people that take a small resources.
When you say small resources, what do you mean?
Okay, Nigeria,
Nigeria has resources.
How much?
We have human resources, we have natural resources.
Okay, so when I say resources, we have human resources. I'm referring to resources in terms of what we generate. We know that this country is dependent on foreign, what we get from our crude oil and all those stuff. For the very first time, this government is trying to move us from dependent. We used to be dependent,
okay,
in 2015 on whatever comes in
from oil.
Now, for the very first time, we see our non-oil sector generating more. We see our tax moving on for the very first time, I think the tax something did, I think, was it not 1 point something trillion or 2 point something trillion? For the very first time, whereas the same country we used to generate how much? 300 billion, 500 billion at the federal government. For the very first time, they are trying, yes, they supposed to have done more in terms of making sure the business environment is more conducive. But for the very first time, we see the government moving out of just saying it and getting down to actually doing it. President Goodluck Jonathan started a program that they put, was it not 200 billion into one CBN post for government, but they could not implement it. It was this government that came in and supported the CBN to go all out and start giving. Now, there's so many things that still needs to be done to make sure that those things are now come to for people to feel it. But I believe we are in the process to it. Rome is not always built in a day, and you know, we all know, to destroy something takes few seconds. But in the process of building something, this is funny. In 2014, when we are campaigning for Buhari Osinbajo campaign, I told one of my campaign colleagues that we are campaigning then, and one of the things I told him was that my fear is that the citizen will not turn and stone Buhari before his tenure is over. And the only reason why I said that then was that before there will be a good turn, there will be so many things that there will be pain before you start enjoying. And when you are going through those pain, it's not a bearable thing. It's not something that you do laughing. So let me give you a typical example. When Fashola was doing, when Fashola was trying to construct Oshodi, if you are very constant in Lagos, then if you go to Lagos, then you see so many courses. You are in the bus, people are cursing. You are in the train, people are in, there was no training. You are in the on radio station, people call, they are cursing for Fashola. In the TV station, people are cursing for Fashola. In the market, people are cursing. And the only thing is that people are going so through so much pain at that time. The same people that cursed Fashola then was now praising Fashola that, oh, this is how it's going to be. So for me, I believe this government is in trying to bring our focus back inward, because Nigeria cannot make it if our focus is still on what we can get outside. We need, that is why, as much as Governor Soludo is not a member of APC, ABGA, I'm rooting for him to succeed. Because if you see somebody that is serious about the economy of his people, is something that we need to really support.
So two things, our time is running out. So there's this argument that Vice President Osinbajo being a sort of son to Baba Bola Tinubu, that he has seemed on the way of betrayal. What's your reaction?
I believe the people that are arguing for and against us not even understand what betrayal is. We believe betrayal in this part of the world is supposed to be to an individual. But I believe betrayal is supposed to be to an ideal, a certain set of ideals. So when you say betray Baba Bola Ahmed Tinubu, Asiwaju Bola Ahmed Tinubu, what type of betrayal?
Okay, so this argument, they said, Baba Tinubu was the one that politically raised Osinbajo.
Yes.
That he shouldn't have gone in that way to declare himself as president, seeing that Baba wants to go for president too.
I believe him even stepping out puts more star on the shoulder of Adewale Bola Ahmed Tinubu, because if you look at everybody that has declared their intention to run, excluding Adewale Bola Ahmed Tinubu, if you look at everybody and those that we are seeing hinting that they are going to run, tell me one of them that in one way or the other Asiwaju Bola Ahmed Tinubu has not touched politically in one way or the other, most especially those in this South.
So Baba Tinubu should be a proud father.
I believe so. I believe he has done so much for APC. I believe he has, if not for somebody like Asiwaju Bola Ahmed Tinubu, that have to sacrifice his vision in 2007 and sit back to build AC, that metamorphosed to ACN, that metamorphosed to the combination of APC. Maybe APC will not be in power today. So any day, anytime, no matter the way it goes, Asiwaju Bola Ahmed Tinubu becomes president, he did not become president, he will go down as a hero for APC.
So as someone campaigning for and rooting for Shibajo, what does he has in store for us?
So
I know he has said he will continue on President Buhari's mandate, but what's going to be the core?
I'm not going to speak for him directly because, you know, there are so many groups that all this thing is still being done as a volunteer basis. So they still have their spokesperson, and until the policy document and the campaign document is out, we can't be factual. But one thing I can promise you is that based on his antecedent and based on what he has said in the speech, there is going to be an improvement on what President Buhari has done. So like I said, in security, there have been so many investments that have gone into security. We are going to see more investment. We are going to see more collaboration, more training. You can see that the government has started infusing young bloods into the... That is another argument that people don't look at when they are talking about, what do they call it, federalism and co. People campaign for youth infusion in government. But if you look at this government, you can see the traces. It's not going at the pace it's supposed to be, but you can see the traces. You can see the infusion of youth. Most of the people that are, in, that are working with Professor Yomi Oshibajo in his office, most of them are youth. So we can see the improvement, inclusion of youth into the political space. So we are going to see more of that. We are going to see more of building on the economy, each year the enabling environment for businesses. That is why we see the rebirth of CAC, FRSC that we mentioned in terms of tax. You see the way their operations start getting more smooth and all those. So we are going to see more of that. And another thing which I'm hoping for is that we are going to see more of technology coming into the use of both our security architect, our economy, and all those. So, and being a professor that he is, technically, you are going to see more thing in terms of being able to look at the analysis very well, because that is his background. And if you are a professor, definitely, that does not mean that I'm saying that this government is not using that. I'm just saying that we are going to see more additional of more of that. So that is what we are looking at.
Just one more thing. And I said last time, the other time. Just one more thing. Looking at the antecedent of APC, consensus.
Yeah.
APC has said tentatively primaries will hold next month, May. So when we get to primaries, what do you think is going to happen? Consensus or direct?
In politics, it's 2 hours is a very long time. So nobody can predict now. The only thing we can do now is to keep following the event as it unfolds. APC contestant just started showing their interest. You know, PDP is now running to like 16 or 14 at the last count. APC is just like 7, 8 thereabout. We are still going more. We see more people that are still going to. So when everybody has now declared intention, then we start the negotiation. Politics always goes back to, and we are going to shock you again because you will be looking out for blood. But we are going to also come out in a very subtle way, settle our differences and come out with a very good candidate.
That's it. You're going to shock us. We are with the shock. Thank you very much, Mr. Joshua, for joining me on this episode. I really appreciate it. And let's see what happens. I'm hoping to see what happens, and who knows? Thank you for joining in.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining in again this week, and I hope you had a good time. Please ensure to subscribe to this channel from wherever you listen to podcasts. Special thanks to my sound engineer, Tom Lucky Media. Till I come your way next time, stay lifted.